You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Wire. Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
New research has found younger workers are more likely to face unsatisfactory work experience. This leads to higher rates of job stress, job anxiety, job depression, and eventually burnout. Last week for our election coverage on local economy, I spoke to researcher Zoe Port, who is also the co-convener of Stand Up and vice chairperson of the Young Workers Resource Centre, about the findings. Younger workers are more likely to face unsatisfactory work experiences. Can you talk a bit about what that means?
Sure. So our research, which surveyed 709 workers across Aotearoa New Zealand last year, looked at both work-related factors, so things like support in your job, and also outcomes, and found that the younger age group of workers fared the worst across the board. So in their work, on average, they felt the least supported, they were least likely to report that they found their work meaningful, they were most likely, over all the other age groups, to be working outside of work hours using technology, and they also had the highest perceptions that their employer was watching them or surveilling them at work. And then when we look at outcomes with all of these factors, it's no real surprise, really, that these young workers also reported the worst levels of well-being, including the highest levels of job stress, job anxiety, and job depression, and the worst levels of work-life balance. And in turn, they also had the highest turnover intentions, so the intention to quit their jobs. But one silver lining in this, in these findings, was that this younger age group also had the highest perceptions of something called job mobility, which is the belief that there were other, you know, good job opportunities out there and they could easily shift and get another job.
Do we know why this is the case with young people? Why are they feeling the highest levels of job stress, anxiety and depression compared to other age groups?
I think part of it speaks to some of those work factors we identified, things like having those low levels of support in the workplace, not feeling like their work is meaningful. So I guess those are the factors I can point to directly in our research. But what I would also say, and this comes from my experience working with young workers through various roles, and being somewhat young myself, I think it's a really challenging context for young workers to be in at the moment. This younger generation, although not trying to claim that any generation's had it harder than the others, because that's not really useful, but this generation, when you think about what they're facing, you know, the really visible effects of climate change, rising inequality, obviously COVID-19 over the past few years, and the fact that we're kind of seeing all of these crises because we're so connected, we're always on, you know, we're able to see this really quickly from our smartphones, for example. So I think that impending sense of doom that I think a lot of people sometimes feel, I think that could maybe also be at play here, because when you think about all of these things happening and then, you know, you've still got to go to work 9 to 5 or whatever hours and make a living, I think that very much could be playing into this a bit.
Did the study reveal differences in generational attitudes towards work? You've kind of touched on this a little bit with COVID-19 maybe playing a unique role in how young people experience work today. But are there any other aspects of this where young people's experiences with work may be different to other generations?
Yes, I think the most significant difference that we can sort of shed some light on from our findings is the difference in attitudes across the generations when it comes to leaving or staying with a job. So obviously, with our findings, as I mentioned, younger workers were most likely to plan to leave their jobs, and they were also most likely to see, you know, that there were greener pastures elsewhere. And I think this really comes back to a mentality that perhaps older generations have had, that they've been raised with, the idea that you should be loyal to a company and you shouldn't change jobs too often. It doesn't look good for your CV. You know, even if you're in a job and it's tough, you should try and stick it out for as long as you can, because it looks bad to leave too early. So I really think we're starting to see different attitudes about this in our younger generations. And maybe COVID has played into that to some extent, given that well-being was kind of really brought to the forefront of our minds over the past few years. But yeah, I just see this really stark difference that our younger generations, our younger workers, they're not willing to buy into this narrative that you must be loyal to a company and that you must, you know, suffer, just stay a bit longer so that it looks better. They are seemingly willing to who up and leave when they when they're not happy, which I think is a which is really promising.
You might be able to speak to this more with your other roles and stand up in Young Workers Resource Centre, but is there a difference between young people who are working full-time versus those who are studying and working at the same time?
Yeah, so that's, while it's not something we pulled out through our findings, as you say, I do see some of these things in my other roles. I guess what we tend to see is those who are working full-time, you know, maybe they've graduated or maybe they went straight from school into full-time work, versus those who are balancing, say, study and part-time work, as you say. I guess the challenges are quite different, and often these people are at slightly different stages in their lives. One thing we see is that often, not always, but often the kind of jobs that people have while they are studying or in some kind of other, you know, transition phase of their life that they're working on something, those jobs are often quite different in nature to the kind of jobs that people might take on full-time. So, for example, students working a lot of sort of part-time hospital retail roles. We know that the challenges of those industries are, you know, very unique. There's a lot of, I guess, customer interface and customer abuse. Whereas I think where people are working and young people are working more full-time, I'd say, again, the nature of their roles are different. They're probably more likely to have, not always, but more likely to sort of be pursuing a role that maybe matches what they want to do long-term with their career. So I think, although we didn't tease out those findings around hours in this particular study, I do think, yeah, there are sort of two different groups in that regard, and they might be facing different challenges in their work.
These negative experiences are still kind of across the board, though, as you say. What can organisations be doing to combat young people's negative work experiences?
Yeah, so looking directly at our findings, and I guess also with the caveat that, you know, workers of all ages need healthy work environments and need support, but I've given the findings that we're seeing here, if we consider where our young workers were scoring particularly poorly, you know, perceptions of support from their employer and work-life balance, I think these could be really great areas to target. Anecdotally, I see organisations sometimes sort of taken by surprise that work-life balance seems to be important to younger workers, because sometimes I think there's a real perception that work-life balance and worrying about the work-home interface is more of a concern for people with children or people with caring responsibilities, which, you know, really generally speaking, younger workers are a bit less likely to be in that stage of their life. So I think often, yeah, people think, why would young workers care about work-life balance, especially if they don't have, you know, kids or nuclear family, whereas really we need to throw that view out the window, because that work-life balance and being able to actually exist as a person, as an individual in the workplace, is still important to younger workers. So things like flexibility and realistic workloads, things that will help them to achieve that work-life balance and not feel overworked, is a great place to start. And again, if you're looking at that, it's probably going to benefit all age groups too.
And actually, 95BFM is focusing on local economy for our election coverage this week. Do these findings say anything about our wider economy?
I think it does, in the sense that this has implications for our workforce. You know, one thing that always really concerns me when I hear that younger workers are having a hard time is that this is, well, they are our current workforce. Young people, we are the current workforce and we are the future workforce. And I'm really concerned that the way things are heading, our younger workers could be burning out really quickly and really young in their careers. And I think that should be of concern for us, I guess, from a, you know, moral perspective. I don't want any human experiencing bad outcomes, and we simply should be treating people at work, treating people well at work, because it's the right thing to do. But I guess if you're trying to bring it to an economic perspective, it's also not good for the future workforce to have people burning out and miserable so young in their careers when they've got, you know, decades ahead of them.
That was Dr. Zoe Port from the University of Massey on recent findings around young people's experiences in the workforce.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.